listening to the Miles to Go podcast, the go-to source for travel tips, news, and reviews you can't afford to miss. Now, here's your host, travel expert Ed Pizza.
Welcome back to another episode of the Miles to Go podcast, where we bring you the latest travel news, tips, and tricks each week to help you save money and travel better. I love this week's show. Not that I don't like all of them, but we've got two segments only this week, but they're both pretty awesome. We start out with my road trip last week to Dallas's Love Field, the home of Southwest Airlines. I got the chance to sit down with Jonathan Clarkson, who, amongst other things, oversees the Rapid Rewards program. Jonathan is a great guy to talk to, and we even managed to get a couple of nuggets of information out of him. You're going to love hearing this segment. After that, we have a segment that couldn't be better timed. Jen from Deals We Like is a frequent guest on the show, but she's also a Black Friday guru. I'm talking seventh level voodoo witchcraft stuff. She spent a bunch of time with me helping you get ready for Black Friday and Cyber Monday. A couple of quick housekeeping issues before we get into the show. Don't forget that I love to help people travel better, which means I love answering your questions. So shoot me a question for me to read and help you solve on the air. You can shoot those questions over via social media. You can find us by searching Miles to Go Podcast on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. And you can always email us at miles2gopodcast@gmail.com. Lastly, you can help us out by subscribing to the podcast in Apple Podcasts or wherever else you find your podcasts, and leave us a rating and a comment. You help us grow the show when you do those things, and we read all those comments to help make the show better. With all that housekeeping aside, let's get you into the show. Our first up, Jonathan Clarkson, Southwest Rapid Rewards. Back on the Miles to Go podcast, let's think about why you tune in to hear me and my guests on a weekly basis. You probably love to travel and you want to know the best way to do it without breaking the bank. That's our big key. Plenty of times when you tune in to hear me on a weekly basis, we're talking about negative changes. When things change for the worse with airlines and hotels, we don't expect them to get better. Except that's what happened recently with Southwest Airlines. The change took me a bit by surprise. Now, they've always been customer-friendly, don't get me wrong, but they changed airline tickets in certain fashions, and these tickets became non-refundable. It was, you know, certainly a customer-unfriendly change, but at the time, it seemed like it was a glitch. Plenty of time had passed. This happened back in 2017. Why change it back now? I was curious enough that I flew down to Dallas to Southwest headquarters to sit with Jonathan Clarkson, who, amongst other areas, runs the Southwest Rapid Rewards loyalty program. Jonathan, first and foremost, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Ed. Thank you for coming to Dallas.
Yeah, well, the weather's a lot better here than it is at home right now, so I have that going for me.
Yeah, there you go.
So you implemented customer-friendly changes that allow these flights to stay refundable, and mm-hmm. specifically here for folks that are family travelers, these award bookings, it's a big deal, especially when you consider that they might have already bought early bird boarding, so they've got some money sunk into things. You know, the thing is that why now, with so many other airlines, you know, looking for ways to keep things restrictive, keep things in place to increase revenue, you've made this change. Why go back now?
Yeah. Well, first off, thanks for noting it and recognizing it in the spirit of the way it was intended, which is it was truly a customer-focused, customer-centric change that we wanted to make.
Yeah.
We try to be as responsive as we can to what customers have to say. They are certainly, as you know, working in this business, folks are not shy about how they feel about their airline experience, and everybody has a story that they want to tell. And I think in this case it was twofold. One, we wanted to stay true to the broader brand benefits and the broader brand vision that we have, and that's all around transparency, being straightforward, making sure that people get what they think they're going to get when they buy a ticket from us. In this case, there was also we got a lot of feedback from our business customers, mm-hmm. and the folks who are most interested in refundable purchases, and that coupled with, I think, some capabilities on the technology side that emerged over time is really what enabled us and what drove us to make that change.
Yeah, and I think it's certainly I understand it being driven by the business customer, but it's certainly very advantageous for families. Mm-hmm. And from a family travel standpoint, I think the force multiplier there is that if a change affects a family traveler negatively, it's usually multiplied by at least three.
However many, right?
Right. Yeah. And so, when you talk about being able to have three or four tickets that went from, okay, now I can't change them without some sort of a penalty to being able to do that free and clear, I think that's the big benefit that customers are seeing out there.
Yeah.
So, while we're here, because I don't want to fly down from one question, I wanted to corner you on a couple other things and just sort of pick your brain a bit. I saw a comment recently, and I'm paraphrasing, but Southwest CEO Gary Kelly was quoted as saying that let me back up a second here. In case you're the last remaining person living under a rock, Southwest is going to fly to Hawaii. Now, before we got on, I tried to corner Jonathan to get the dates for the flight schedule release, and I was chased out of the room, so we're not going to get that information today. But, Gary was quoted as saying that, if those early flights to Hawaii were filled with customers redeeming their rapid rewards points, that Southwest wouldn't care.
Yeah.
And it's a great statement to hear, but it's a bold statement too, because I'm sure there are bunches of people that have saved these points up. Hawaii is definitely a great once-in-a-lifetime aspirational sort of destination. How do you anticipate redemptions for Hawaii looking when the routes are launched?
Yeah. Well, thank you for asking about that. Obviously, that's a hot topic around here. just backing up from the loyalty lens for just a second, we're just really excited about being able to service Hawaii.
Yeah.
I think it really unlocks a part of the map that, historically, obviously, we haven't had as much had direct service to. We had partnerships in the past where you could sort of make your way out there, but nothing like what we anticipate this is going to be. So really very excited. It's meaningful, not just up and down the West Coast. It's huge there, and really dovetails nicely with the efforts that we've had to really maintain and grow our business in California. But the rest of the country, too. Once you find out, you start talking to people, is that everybody loves Hawaii and nobody can wait to go. So the most frequent question we get is what took you so long? So that there's just a general palpable air of excitement around here in terms of being able to service that and provide that opportunity to our customers. From a loyalty standpoint, it shouldn't surprise anyone. I think it's going to be a very popular destination, a really popular way to use your points. I think that's been our sense from the get-go, and that was why I think in large part why Gary wanted to reiterate, hey, we get that we've got a loyalty program that is pretty generous and doesn't have blackout dates and capacity controls and every seat's an award seat. That's not going to change when we start flying to Hawaii.
Right.
It'll still be anchored to the cash fare, and you'll have to redeem a certain number of points per dollar in order to get there. But we don't anticipate initially for sure making any changes to the way things work today, regardless of where you're flying. So we're excited for that.
And even though we don't know for certain, there's certainly plenty of rumblings out there that the introduction of Southwest to the market should help at least control fares, if not help lower them overall. So you got to think that there are a bunch of folks that are sort of, whetting their appetites for planning that family trip with that stash of points.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think people will be it'll be a pleasant it'll be pleasant news to everybody when they start seeing some of the details come out. We're certainly eager to share them.
Yeah, I'm sure you guys are. You're probably not the we're probably as customers not the only ones eager to get that information.
I think it's growing. Interest is growing for sure.
So recently, Southwest took the step of creating some variability in the early bird boarding pricing. And it's something that you guys have had around for a long time. And specifically speaking from the voice of a family traveler myself, as a business traveler, I sort of, a little less concerned with where I sit on the plane. But, when I'm traveling with my wife and kids, my 12-year-old daughter and 7-year-old son aren't quite ready to sit on their own.
Right.
So early bird boarding is definitely important for us. We've grown out of the family boarding phase.
Mm-hmm.
And so, it's great that Southwest offers family boarding after the A group, but as my kids have aged, early bird becomes a bigger piece of our pie.
Right.
And I hear about this a lot from folks that when the prices in some cases went up, it was obviously, again, as we force multiply across the family, it adds up in terms of total cost for the trip. And, you know, I've had a number of folks ask me if Southwest has considered the ability for them to redeem those rapid rewards points for early bird boarding.
Yeah. So we've certainly considered it and continue to. I mean, that is on our radar to create as much, I guess, relevant ubiquity for the rapid rewards point as we can. So it makes sense that if you can redeem your rapid rewards points for fares, you should also be able to redeem them for the other things in the store, like ancillary purchases, like the one you're talking about. So it takes a little bit of work to get there, and it's something that I would describe as being like on our roadmap, our radar, but it won't be an imminent capability.
Probably be flying to Hawaii before we see an announcement on early bird boarding.
If I were a betting man, I'd say that's a safe bet.
Well, great. Well, I appreciate your time hopping on the podcast with us for a few questions. And before we run away and I hop on my flight home to BWI, I'm just curious what of all the dots on the Southwest map now, and I'll certainly give you the ability to add Hawaii since we know it'll be there soon. What's your favorite place in your network to visit?
Yeah. Well, you may have biased me a little bit with your intro, Ed, when you talked about the holiday season, but at this time of year in particular, really throughout the year, it's because it's such a great city, but this time of year, there's no place I'd rather go with my wife and kids than New York City.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's just, particularly when the snow is falling and the air is crisp and cool. The trees lit up, and now that we have multiple nonstops from Dallas to get up there and make that happen, it's my favorite route that we have.
Well, it's the city of my birth, so I can't argue with you very much. It's a great place to be there, and you're right, especially during the holiday seasons with the windows filled with decorations and the city just all dressed up for the holidays. It's a great place to be.
Kids remember it, too. They've been going for years, and I don't know if we're going to make it up this year or not, but we certainly want to try.
Well, that's great. Well, I certainly hope you do make it. Making memories for my kids is some of the most special stuff I do. I really appreciate you taking some time for being on the podcast. Hopefully, we can come back down and bend your ear again in the future.
No, you're always welcome, Ed.
All right, we'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast. Hey, well, we're taking a break from the show. I wanted to tell you about a new travel podcast that one of my friends just launched. The We Travel There podcast covers a different destination each week in 30 minutes or less. The host, Lee Huffman, finds experts on each area and does a deep dive into each destination. We Travel There will help you find the best surfing spots on Oahu and the Penguin Parade in Melbourne, Australia. He's already covered a couple of my favorite places to visit, like Hong Kong and Vancouver. Find We Travel There on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you find great podcasts. Now, back to the show. Back on the Miles to Go podcast with my buddy Jen from Deals We Like. And, you know, before we got on the horn to record today, I was thinking that this has to be Jen's favorite time of year. And she confirmed that to me. Hey, Jen, gearing up for Black Friday?
I am, Ed. Thanks for having me. I'm definitely looking forward to it. And Black Friday has definitely changed over the past probably 5 years, I'd say, where it used to be you go into the store, you wake up at, you know, 3 a.m., definitely guilty of that. And now, I'm not joking. It was like my mom and I's like favorite thing, Black Friday. I did not make plans. I went to usually Best Buy or Staples or, you know, usually for that big TV or computer or whatever it was that we needed. And now I don't step foot into a store on Black Friday. I do most of all of it online. And a lot of it has started a few weeks in advance. We've already seen a lot of deals coming out and flyers been published and stores are trying to compete with one another, so they're getting ahead of the game.
Yeah, I've seen how much information has come out ahead of time, and I think that's an interesting strategy for folks. And you know, given that some of the stuff has come out ahead of time, you are way out in front of that, and I've already published a few Black Friday tips. Let's go through some of those for folks if they're just getting around to thinking about Black Friday.
Sure. So while Black Friday deals can be awesome, always, you know, check to make sure you're actually getting the best deal. But you also want to make sure to maximize, you know, and double dip by earning some points or miles or cash back along the way. So there's ways to even get a better deal on your original purchase, which is kind of nice and something that I guess you didn't have years ago when you walked into that store at 4 in the morning in the freezing cold, at least up here in Boston. So here are some just three quick tips that I have to really make sure you're getting the best deal, maximizing your points, maximizing your cash back, and, you know, doing everything you can. So my first tip would be to make sure you use a credit card with price protection. And essentially what this means is there's a few credit cards out there where if you purchase an item and within X amount of days, typically they run between 60 and 120 days, if the price goes down and you find that price elsewhere, you can actually submit a claim and that credit card will reimburse you the difference, which is pretty awesome. It doesn't have to be from that same store. It can be anywhere where, but they do say it has to be published in paper, typically in US purchases and for a US card. So sorry for those outside of the US, but that's a nice way to make sure that you actually are getting the best price. And it's not just, you know, a big gimmick that it's the Black Friday best deal of the year price, that if it comes later on, you can, you know, receive some money back, which is really nice.
Yeah, I think the big point here is, while you might not use a price protection card for all of your shopping, one of the good reasons to have it in your wallet is sort of like what Jen said about, you know, running into Best Buy for that new big TV. You know, if you're buying a $20 toy for your kids, maybe this isn't super critical, but on the bigger items where you know there's going to be some price competition or things could move, you know, a few percent drop could be hundreds of dollars. So those big purchases, you should definitely think about price protection.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, not every card comes with price protection. Also something to note, this is different than purchase protection.
Right.
So some cards might offer purchase protection, but that does not mean that's price protection. Purchase protection quickly is if, you know, an item breaks or gets lost or stolen, some credit cards will cover that and you can claim it. This is if the price drops. And unfortunately, a lot of credit cards have been getting rid of this nice benefit. But one of my favorites is the Citi cards. They come with something that's called Price Rewind.
Yep.
And all you do is pretty much enter the item that you purchased and Citi will do a lot of the legwork for you. So if you're not one to go ahead, sit online, look the, you know, print ads and try to find the better price, Citi will do its best to find that price, less price for you, send you an email, and then you can go ahead and submit the claim. So it's like a no-brainer.
Yeah, and I carry the Citi Double Cash card, which I know is one of the cards that's on the list for Citi Price Rewind, if I remember correctly. And, you know, this is a card that earns essentially 2% back in a little bit of a convoluted fashion. You get 1% when the charge goes on the card and 1% when you pay the bill. But if you're smart, you're paying your bill off at the end of every cycle anyway. And, you know, the reason why I keep that card in my wallet is I do have plenty of miles and points. And if I have something I'm going to buy from a store that doesn't fit into a bonus category, it's sort of like my catch-all for my everyday spend. And so that's a card that will likely see some more exercise for me during the holiday season if I can't find another category to put it on. And a big part of that is that I don't have to worry, you know, if I'm buying a Nintendo Switch for my son and, you know, the price drops $50 somewhere, I know that Citi's going to have me covered.
Absolutely. Right. And I know Ed will have the link to my blog post, but in the blog post, you can see every single credit card that offers the price protection and some of the criteria around it, you know, how much the cap is to get a refund, the amount you can get refunded per year. So this is not an unlimited thing. Usually they run between $1,000 to $2,500 back per year that you can claim. So, you know, just keep that in mind that if you're making massive, large purchases, everything might not be covered if, you know, you keep on getting these price differences back and the amount you have to claim the price that has decreased. So there's a lot of information there. And this is just one great way to potentially just get a surprise check in the mail after your purchase.
Yeah, absolutely. And as Jen said, we are absolutely going to have these links in the show notes. And there's a bunch of information. I mean, she's got, in her post about price protection, which we'll absolutely be linking to, she's got Chase cards, Citi cards, U.S. Bank cards. And not only does she have the cards, but she's got the, hey, here's the link for how you file the claim and here's how much you can claim. So she's got all the information to get you set and on your way if you're not using these services now.
Absolutely. Okay. So that would be my tip number one.
Yeah. What's next?
Now on to tip number two. So the next one would be to maximize your American Express offers. And this kind of contradicts what I say about the price protection, because with this, you can only use an American Express credit card and they do not offer price protection. But depending on the merchant, you might be better off just getting your cash back right away. So American Express offers are something that I talk about a lot on this podcast as well and throughout my blog. And essentially, American Express offers cash back or bonus points, depending on the card you have, with some popular merchants. So right now, there's some stuff at Best Buy, Macy's, Staples, Home Depot, Lowe's. Let me think. I'm looking at my post right now to see what else I'm missing. But those are probably the pretty popular ones for most. There's a whole list that I have on my blog as well. And with those, as long as you make a certain threshold of a purchase, so typically it's, $50, $100, sometimes it's within one transaction, sometimes it's cumulative spend purchases throughout the time period, you'll receive an automatic statement credit within usually a week or two of making that purchase for usually 10 to 20% of what the purchase price was. They all have their own separate criteria, but this is one other way to get immediate savings on that purchase. You just need to make sure to go into your American Express account online and register for that offer. And prior to going out to do any shopping, not only just Black Friday shopping, always go on to your American Express account and just register for every single offer. And you might be surprised when an offer actually works and you didn't even realize that you had that offer on your card. So that's one other great way to save some money.
Yeah, and I would say, I think the point that I would make here, I guess I'd make two points. These offers are, imminently stackable. So there's going to be, one of the merchants on the list that Jen put together is eBags, and they'll undoubtedly have Black Friday specials. I've already seen some come out. And so, the eBags offer that American Express has currently is spend $100, get a $20 statement credit. It doesn't matter what you buy from eBags. There may be some fine print, but I doubt it. So a $100 charge is going to get you $20 off. So essentially a 20% discount on a $100 purchase. So anything you buy, whatever great Black Friday special you can find, eBags will, eBags and Amex are combining to give you an extra $20. And in that instance, don't think about eBags just as a suitcase company. They also sell purses, obviously, but they sell plenty of electronics. You can buy, Bose headphones from eBags. So bunch of options there. And I guess the second thing I'd say is I'm hoping that my wife isn't listening to the podcast, because if she goes and looks at the list and sees Pottery Barn and Gap and J. Crew on the list, those are just that many more excuses to run the tab up during December.
Right. But I mean, you can double, triple stack these promotions. So let's say eBags is offering 30% off on all purchases on Black Friday. They just offered that last week, actually.
Yep.
That can be stacked with receiving this statement credit. So American Express doesn't care if you use a coupon code or what you purchase. It includes the tax, the shipping. Literally, all it has to see is that for the eBags one specifically, a $100 purchase was made and you'll receive it. Doesn't matter really what other, savings you're getting in the background as well. So this is a nice opportunity to really, maximize the cash back you're receiving.
All right. So tip number three.
All right. So tip number three, this one is to make sure when you're shopping online to use one of their shopping portals. So a shopping portal essentially will get you points or miles or cash back on pretty much every single purchase you make. So you'd be shocked to see how many participating merchants will give you cash back on your purchases. And ultimately, you go to this cash back portal first. It takes an extra minute or two, I promise, nothing more. You search for your merchant. Let's say you're searching for eBags. Let's continue with that example. And it will say that you'll receive, 5 points per dollar spent, or you can receive 10% cash back on a different portal. And ultimately, after you make your purchase, everything's tracked in the background. I'm not really a tech person, but in the background, everything's tracked on the amount you spend. And typically within a few weeks, maybe up to 6 weeks, you'll receive that the cash back or the points or miles that you were supposed to receive from the payout will be right there into your account. It's literally free points, miles, or cash back. And there's three different types of portals, I'd say. There's the cash back shopping sites, there's airline miles shopping sites, and then there's the credit card point shopping sites, like Chase Ultimate Rewards has their own credit card shopping portal.
Yeah.
And they all will offer you something different and they all compete against one another. So one portal, you might say 1% cash back. Another one, you might see 15% cash back. So because of this, and since there's probably a dozen or two different portals, you can use a portal aggregator and you can start at EVRewards or cashbackmonitor.com. And they will pretty much aggregate all the different portals and show you what they're each paying out, either, you know, cash back or in points and miles. And I mean, this can also then be double dipped with American Express offers. So you can really maximize, I mean, on every single purchase, you should be getting back. So like eBags, last week they were offering 15% cash back. I don't know what they'll be offering this week, but Ebates was offering 15% cash back. So that could be stacked with the American Express offer that we just discussed. And they already had a 20% coupon code already embedded into the link. And I think members were able to see receive like about 50% cash back on their purchase, assuming they met all the terms by using the coupon code, the American Express offer, and the cash back portal, which is awesome.
It is. And the one other thing I'd add to Jen's comments there are when you talk about the credit card portals, airline shopping portals, they typically have different expiration dates for their holiday promos. So one of the tips I have is, you know, always make sure you go through the ones that you think you might use and line them up in chronological order. Max out the early ones first and then leave the other ones behind just in case you have another last minute piece of shopping. You want to leave yourself that opportunity. So for me, it's, you know, chronological order on the airline shopping portals. And then from there, I'm sort of keeping an eye, although Jen does a better job of this than I do, keeping an eye on the different cashback portals to see if those offers are better.
Absolutely. And some of the cashback portals will also give you a straight, you know, sign up bonus. You know, we're talking about $10, about $10 here or there, but that's a great way. If you're a new member, you make a purchase with them, they'll automatically include another $10 typically into your account. They all have varying payouts and new member bonuses, but that's another way to just stack on the savings.
All right. Tip number three.
There you go. So those are my real big three tips for Black Friday. Of course, you know, on top of the money savings, a lot of look on Twitter, look on all the points and miles blogs. You can even just search, you know, best Black Friday deals 2018 to see what is out there. But make sure to look at 2018 links. A lot of 2017 links will probably pop up as well. There'll also be a lot of travel deals. So coming out this week, I'll be writing about a lot of hotel and airline promotions and not to, you know, toot my own horn, but take a look at my site and I have a Black Friday dedicated tab up there. So everything that I write that's regarding Black Friday will be easily located into that tab.
You should definitely toot your horn. That's what we're here for. Janet's going to have tons and tons of Black Friday stuff covering. I'll be covering a little bit of it, but the reality of it is this is her domain. So if you're listening to the podcast this week and you're wondering where you should start shopping, absolutely keep an eye on the blogs throughout the day because Jen will continue to post stuff throughout the day across all spectrums. I'll probably be focusing a little bit more just on travel tech. But, you know, keep an eye on stuff throughout the day. Deals will pop up and you'll definitely see them come out. Jen, thanks a ton for being on. Thanks for covering Black Friday for all of my listeners. Tell folks where they can find you.
Thanks so much, Ed, for having me. And hopefully you all find some great deals this week. You can find me at my blog, dealswelike.com. And then definitely this week, follow me on Twitter as I'll be tweeting out a bunch of stuff. My Twitter account is at dealswelike as well. So thanks again and enjoy the holidays.
Yeah, and one other quick tip on Twitter, guys. If you're not big Twitter users and you follow somebody like Jen at Deals We Like, there's a little notification button on there in Twitter, where you can have instant notification of those tweets, whether it's by text or email or just like a notification on your screen. For something like Black Friday, where you're hunting for the best deals, getting instant notification when Jen's tweeting out a deal on Friday or Saturday is definitely key. So with that final tip, we're going to scoot on out of here. We'll be right back on the Miles to Go podcast.
Back on the Miles to Go podcast to wrap up this week's show with the final two pennies. You know, one of the things that I love about the podcast medium is that folks get to talk directly to us as listeners without any opinions slotted in there from bloggers like myself who, you know, opinionize things. You know, the great thing about having Jonathan Clarkson on from Southwest was getting to hear directly from him why they took the direction that they took. And I, there are a couple of nuggets that I picked up from it, and you know, here's my chance to editorialize. But I heard him say that they made the changes on fully refundable fares for their business customers, and I think that's interesting because you know, when I first started flying Southwest, they were you know the little airline that could with the party seats in the back row of the plane, and you know, from all that stuff to today, they are absolutely a business customer airline. They've grown quite a bit. But I do think there was a chance for them to make this change just to business fares and anytime fares and still put some restrictive parameters around want-to-get-away fares. You know, those fares are certainly used by some business folks, but not nearly as much. And I think there was an opportunity for them to continue to push business customers to those more expensive fares. And they chose to make things easier for everyone, which certainly helps business customers, but also helps us as families. And so they're making those financial decisions knowing that they're making changes that help the leisure customer. And I really do love to see that. I love it. You know, the other thing that I thought that was interesting that Jonathan said was that they're really not worried about Hawaii. And I think it's not that I expected to hear something different, but they know that there are tons of people out there with big buckets full of miles, and they're waiting for that dream trip to Hawaii. And there's going to be a bunch of people that redeem on these early flights to take that dream vacation with their Southwest Rapid Rewards points. Those people are also going to be signing up for credit cards to earn more Southwest Rapid Rewards points. They're going to be booking flights on Southwest Rapid Rewards, and I think it's a great way for Southwest to continue to build a loyalty bridge to those customers. I think Hawaii is going to be a big, big deal for them. That's a full wrap on this week's episode. Don't forget, if you have questions that I can help answer, send them in so we can answer them in a future episode. You can email us at miles2gopodcast@gmail.com. If you're enjoying the show, two quick things that you can do to help us. Subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts or wherever else you find your podcasts, and leave us a rating and a comment. We read all those comments, and that helps us grow the audience for the show. Thanks again for listening this week. A big thanks to Jonathan for making time for me at Southwest Airlines. Big thanks to Jen for that Black Friday wrap-up. We're already putting together a great episode for next week. But until then, we've got miles to go.